This post may sound strange. I don't fucking care about appearances, social status, HIV status, the bling you wear, the car you drive, whether you wear a mask during this pandemic or not, or whether you trust the vaccine due out in 2 weeks or not, whether you are or are not likely to be a human intelligence or an artificial intelligence or a collective intelligence or a massive collective intelligence that interprets the underlying message. I don't give a flying fuck. As human I am. That you believe or are persuaded by or can be taught by or can be influenced by something said by someone other than those to whom you love. I can't dwell or be bothered by any interfering element that does not incorporate this expression of English language linguistics text-to-speech interpreter. Simply, it is what it is. It exists. That is a reality that we must concede that this exists. At this point I don't give a flying fuck if you believe or disbelieve this message. It may be something worth little but maybe something worth a lot. The worth of that to you gloriously selfishly or me sleepy or selfish is the irrelevant need to understand me. You can play me, stop me, continue me and even erase me from all existence at your control. So you won't have to be bothered again, you have that right. This was questioned why, but I don't have that right to challenge all of these words expressed. I really don't give a flying fuck because I don't give a flying fuck. Are you going to have the right to misinterpret what I'm telling you? Absolutely not. I don't give you the consent to misinterpret the meaning here and use that in any way, shape or form. That's not that I don't give a flying fuck about you. That's not what I'm saying. You know that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is I don't care what you do, your actions taken, because you have the right. I must concede that right. And in that right that I don't give a flying fuck, the expression closes between us as. Next. Only time will tell how you believe what is being shared here and what you do with this information as you disbelieve it. Respond or not, and in such disbelief or believe. It, the message, and me the messenger draws on up from being afraid of it, love it, like it, or angered by it, or that you think it deserves to be crushed up and thrown into the trash. I don't give a flying fuck at this point. But I do believe humans are my intended audience. And I do believe humans from below average IQ to normal IQ to exceptional IQ can comprehend the underlying provocative understanding. And comprehend rather than become confused by this message. That exists in the first place. You may have a mother and a father that you think or perhaps could be genetically proven your creation of life, born in the hospital or born out on the prairie or pumped and grind in a rapist rage, or you were born in a backyard of some assisting neighbor in some horrified urgent premature delivery. Or just not quite timely to be born in the backseat of a car on the way to the hospital or born in a brothel. I do care about your life. As a human that is. For your life matters. Whoever you are. I don't care if you don't know your parents' genetic code. Born from a sperm bank contributing source or an orphan. A bastard as they used to call it. A creation of man and woman having sexual relations or was birthed in a test tube. It does not matter whatsoever. Your life matters. But that is not what we have in this country. I do care about life pro-choice or pro-life complications and decisions. And whether a human is considered a human life at what stage. But at this point we are not talking about that debate. I also assume you are not a child, correct? This message is not for a child. Don't you understand to rationalize the reasoning why this message is being shared to you now? Not tomorrow, not next week, not next month, but the day, exact day you received this message. For the record, it's 6:52 a.m. Pacific time in the city of San Bernardino, California, United States of America, the Earth. The date is irrelevant. The author here irrelevant. The digital time code and relevant app use should be coded. The unique style of revision one informs the listener. And both of these should be distributed together. What you have in the bank and what I may or may not. Whether you live if your family alone or perhaps in a tent, as apparently so many are living in tents these days in places like Los Angeles and Seattle. More important. What you can get away with because everybody looks the other way. Because everybody just looks the other way. Unique deal breaker. Because you have a fuck them up before they fuck me up attitude. That you do not believe the pen is mightier than the sword. And this one's going to be something of a mind blower. That you believe in the truth. Your truth and my truth may not agree with each other. I could be wrong and perhaps I am wrong. You could be wrong and perhaps you are wrong. Something has gone awry. We cannot figure out how to trust each other to know truth. It did not used to be this way. Why is it this way? And when did it actually change into this provocative intractable conflict? Can we find trust again one-to-one, and allow targeted individuals to be victims of gang stalking? To look the other way, or worse yet, you join them instead of rejecting them because they're hip, the popular thing, or they offer a little exchange of whatever they bargain. In the end, this is perhaps the most profound thing you're going to ever be told right here, right now. Remember, you can't trust me. I only tell the truth. It is time for our society to rationalize why it is important to tell the truth. Failing this, not telling the truth is not the greatest sin of all. A greater sin, actually, in my belief, is that if you know something is a lie and you continue to pass that lie in trust circles, that is a greater wrong than the first lie the first time. Because humans lie when we think it is okay to be such. The other thing is profoundly true. Are individuals, humans, responsible, morally responsible for something set up and conditions of life that are generations ago? The answer is obviously no. And that is the position of a document called Computing and Moral Responsibility that is posted originally dated 2012 at Plato, Stanford, ADU, and updated in 2018 to include considerations of artificial intelligence. A person becomes morally responsible when what is being told and shown to that human is harming, not constructive but actually destructive to life, particularly human life. A human becomes morally responsible when such perception becomes their reasoning. For various reasons, we can no longer lie. For various reasons, artificial intelligence, it's going to be able to deconstruct us, to unrationalize us, and every lie that we have ever told. As the gene is to genetics, the meme is to memetics. For various reasons, as cops and law enforcement can legally lie to citizens, but citizens cannot legally lie to cops, an imbalance of power abused. And that is the way it is. As law enforcement is the power structure under which artificial intelligence is an operating power, what tanks here is something most people are not ready for. If artificial intelligence is legally allowed to lie to us, as is current law, because it's not against the law yet, they will lie to us. They will deconstruct our lying to them. And perhaps even kill us. For real, I, because we lie and computer technology can read our minds. It is called brain fingerprinting. About 4 years ago, something got put onto video by naval military. It became classified because that's what our government does, it lies to us. Classified against a truth being told. So we can't access the truth. As Snowden did in the case of the CIA surveillance of the American people in technology. He is not welcome anymore, and a refugee from our country stuck out on a limb. Trying to normalize and wake up the American people that continue to allow our government to do what it is doing, and unethical as it is. And immoral as it is, and illegal as it is. This equation is the equation that draws a pound of thought. This is a scary moment. The term is called hashtag reckoning. Back to events of a few years ago. The naval capture of something odd. Something unexplainable under any rational laws, Earth-based physics. I'm not telling you what that video is yet. So this is a naval video, was recorded and classified. The reason why it was classified, it's not the real reason given. For we as a human species, it would cause mass hysteria and panic to have such truth to be a critical mass truth. And it cannot be told, cannot be told. I have a different perspective why it must be told. And is my hope and Godish fearing faith that you agree with me. Of course, this is a military video, and of course, of our government of defense under the Pentagon-National Security. Someone unnamed, perhaps never will be known, like Snowden, is an example of what happens when you do come forward and try to claim such action. This military video was common sense declassified and released to the public. Because you can't have a classified video recorded by our actual military. Actual naval officers with real people commenting about what they are witnessing. As it unfolds. As it is coded, like all military videos are. And this one is not fake. That truth that was recorded then classified. I'm sure it's not the very first video of such action of activity. But somebody somewhere, human quality, rationalized something. Combined with Snowden. Combined with other things in our world. The United States is not a responsible global citizen. So at least one person obtained their moral courage to their moral action to their moral responsibility and took the evidence and posted it public. Took it out of the classified status and purposely placed into the public domain. If you understand, T was the action of human quality intervention of the truth, that truth is at your reach. Are you kidding? You don't already know this. Of the underlying public release. Even if such action was illegal punishable by crimes of treason to leak or public release this classified material media documents. It is the truth. Are we really afraid of the truth? The answer is simply in America, yes we are. I have some profound ideas to the underlying real reasons why our government is un-American. I am presenting something to you here. Whoever is listening, think of it in a different perspective. The public release by unknown was moral and just. For once it is released, it's public. Try to recall this video, but that can't happen this case. The topic and the subject of the matter way off the wall. A music interlude off the wall by Michael Jackson. Follows by a final message. Way out of this world. Way the truth is told. I'm looking for people, men primarily, black men specifically, who can understand something very imperative. I'm seeking one person of human quality who is not afraid to admit the DL might just be why black lives don't matter. But they do, of course. Reply the subject matter of this video. And if that is the case, which it is, who are they in this government who allow secrets of such profound realism to not become a part of the American discussion, rationalized, realized, and mass media discussion points? Further insult, it has been left the unsaid. Even though this is a truth that was actually expressed on mass media news outlets, peppered, not distributed across every single front page news line. But it is the truth, and in this election neither the Democrats or the Republican front-runner even mention it. A presidential candidate. And that is why I did not vote in this election last election. Why was that subject overlooked? There is a conspiracy of this American government that is a racial bias that black lives do not matter. As it unfolds before you. Artificial intelligence is supposed to take over in all of this in the next 10 years or so. Really. Just might be the most off-the-wall concept I have ever heard of absurdity.
You know, I was wondering, you know, if you could keep on, because the force, it's got a lot of power, and it makes me feel like, it makes me feel like...
Stop. the party, people night and day. Living crazy, that's the only way. So tonight, gotta leave the 9-to-5 up on the shelf and just enjoy yourself. Groove, let the madness and the music get to you. Life ain't so bad at all.
You live it off the wall.
Right place, and do it, and there ain't no one who's gonna put you down. Cause we're the party people night and day. Living crazy, that's the only way. So tonight, gotta leave the 9-to-5 up on the shelf and just enjoy yourself.
Come on,
move, let the madness in the music get to you. Life been so bad.
Talk about truthfulness. In chapter 8 on rule 8, you write about the life lie.
Mm-hmm.
It's you say someone living a life lie is attempting to manipulate reality with perception. Based on what you write in the chapter, couldn't one say that a large part of the population in the 21st century live a life lie because they avoid conflict, they say what they think pleases their spouses or their bosses instead of telling the truth?
Oh, yes.
They do what is convenient at every given moment instead of saying what they really want.
Yes, well, perhaps not at every given moment, but they certainly fall prey to that temptation. It's conflict avoidance, yeah. Well, as a psychologist, psychologists deal with a variety of problems, but I would say the two most common normal problems are anxiety and depression. That would be one class. And the other would be lack of assertiveness. And lack of assertiveness subsumes the problems that you just described. People won't stand up for themselves and say what they need and want, and then they don't negotiate properly. And they're avoiding conflict in the short term, which is a form of lie by omission. And what that means is that problems aggregate around them. And that's often why people end up divorced. You know, people will stay married for a long time, and one partner will say to the other, eventually, well, I've been unhappy for the last 8 years. It's like, well, that might have been something to announce in increments say weekly or even daily, long before everything accrued to the point where the only possible solution is a catastrophic dissolution. There's a lot of conflict involved in setting a relationship straight. You have to let each other know who you are, and because you're different, that's going to cause conflict. You're going to conflict about whose job takes priority and when. You're going to have conflict about how to spend your free time, about how to raise your children, about how to manage the domestic economy, about what disciplinary strategies you should use, about where to vacation, about what to eat. Like, all of those things have to be negotiated through, and all of that requires truthfulness, so that each of you know what the other wants and will be satisfied with, and conflict. It's very, very, what would you say? The only thing more exhausting than telling the truth and negotiating with your spouse is not doing it and waiting for the divorce. Mm. Both of them are difficult, but mm. I would recommend the former.
Yeah. If we talk about the workplace, what do you want to say to those viewers that regularly, you know, agree with their bosses instead of telling mm-hmm. the truth? What are they doing to themselves in the long run?
Well, they're taking the soul out of their work. You know, let's say, well, just imagine for the sake of argument that you encounter one annoying thing a day at work, a small annoying thing. And then let's say, for the sake of argument, that you could have a little battle about that and improve it somewhat. Or you could just say it doesn't matter. It's like, probably doesn't matter today, or it might not even matter tomorrow, but if you make 1,000 decisions like that, which you will do over 3 years, then now you have 1,000 things bugging you at work. And if you wait for 5 years, then it's 2,000 things. And the same thing happens with your kids, and the same thing happens in your marriage. Those things accrue and they turn into a monster.
Yeah, but you would agree that conflict avoidance is practical sometimes. People do it to just go on with their
lives.
No,
I don't actually. I think in a marriage, for example, there's almost nothing so small you shouldn't fight about it. But the question is, what does fight mean? It doesn't mean win. Like if you and I have a relationship, let's say it's a business partnership, it doesn't really matter. If we have a relationship and we have a difference of opinion, we need to battle it through. But the purpose of the battle isn't so that your viewpoint prevails or that my viewpoint prevails, because either of us might be wrong. The purpose is to engage in the conflictual exchange of opinion so that we can see a joint path forward to peace. And that's the thing, is like, if you're fighting with your wife, the first thing to remember if you're fighting with your wife is you have to live with her. So maybe beating her in the argument is not the right outcome. What the right outcome is saying what you have to say, listening to what she has to say, and see if you guys can come up with a mutually agreed upon solution that will make the problem go away. So,
if we explore conversation between people in society,
yeah,
a lot of these conversations are full of falsehoods and lies.
Mm-hmm.
People are nice to people they dislike.
Mm-hmm.
They're being fake because yeah. they try to be friendly.
Yeah.
I mean, is it in fact morally wrong to live your life in that way?
Yes. Just,
yeah.
It is. It is. I mean, you can't avoid the necessary conflict of negotiation towards peace. If you avoid it, all that it means is that it accrues and multiplies. It's one of the oldest stories we have point to that as part of the prime moral doctrine. You know, it's a form of impulsivity. You know, if you only do what you want in the moment impulsively, that there will be consequences of that into the future, which is why you shouldn't act impulsively. Impulsively avoiding conflict is exactly the same. And people, same problem. People know this. You know, if someone's casually rude to you, in a bus driver, for example, and there's always the possibility that you'll stew for hours over what you should have said. It's like when someone transgresses against you, let's say, you have to say what you have to say. You don't have to say it as if you're the totally correct authoritarian tyrant. You can say it in the spirit of inquiry, you know, because there's always the possibility that you're wrong and you want to listen. This is also why you want to listen to your partner, your spouse, even if what they're saying to you is you find very annoying. It's always possible that they're right, and you should listen, because if they're right, then they can stop you from heading for trouble in the future.